Nita Wilwan, I'm Sabrina Spencer with The Journey Continues, highlighting local stories that matter to you. Dustin Johnson, the Kekatlan Nation Culture and Language Program Manager, talked with CFNR about the delegation that was sent to Peabody Museum at Harvard last month, the reasoning behind the visit, as well as hopes the Repatriation Committee has for the future. Johnson, along with six other community members, consisting of an elder, a representative of the clan from whom was associated with the grizzly bear totem pole that was repatriated to the village earlier this spring, fluent speakers of the Somalic language, as well as representatives of the drum and dance group from the village. The seven members of the Kekatlan Nation formed the delegation that took a trip to four East Coast museums, the main museum of interest being that of the Peabody Museum at Harvard in Massachusetts, but also included the Brooklyn Museum, as well as the American Museum of National History, both in New York, and the Dartmouth Hood Museum in New Hampshire. I asked Johnson what the reason was for this particular visit.
There is three different reasons. Part of it was a research trip for other cultural treasures, including or artifacts that were not listed as Kitala, but we have a strong connection to our people and our territory, as well as the ones that are clearly Kitala. Like there's no question about the origins in the museum notes, as well as to return with a cedar bark headdress that belonged to one of our late ancestors. And that was returned, so we returned home with a repatriated artifact from the Hood Museum in New Hampshire. And we returned with that to Prince Rupert. And we had an agreement with the Museum of Northern BC and Rupert to hold on to that temporarily in a Kekatla Nation repatriation exhibit, along with two other treasures that will be on display until our own Laclan museum and big house is built. And so we returned with this artifact that way. And then we also had what we call in our language Ganiza, which is leaving a marker behind. And we had that ceremony with the Peabody Museum at Harvard University with the Harvard directors, the presidents, all of the executives, and some students there as well to mark the occasion of us coming to the Peabody Museum of Harvard to mark that Kekatla was here, where we took back our totem pole and we presented a gift back to the museum and shared some songs. We shared our language. We shared part of our ayauk, our traditional laws, and we marked that occasion for taking back our totem pole.
After the repatriation of the grizzly bear totem pole back to the village from Harvard Museum, I asked Johnson what the welcome was like for the village delegation.
They were really kind to us, and they said that that was the first time they repatriated anything, especially to Northwest Coast First Nations. So we were like their first official repatriation. Our grizzly bear pole stood in that lobby for over 100 years in that museum, and they acknowledged that so much time has passed since they've had it, 126 years since it was taken from Kekatla. So they acknowledged that, and they said that this is new leadership, new director that's going in a direction of respecting what's happened to our people as First Nations people for truth and reconciliation, but also just to acknowledge that so much treasure has been taken from all the different communities, all the nations, and they need to bring it back. Times are changing, and they need to respect that part of our healing as Alugiget, as Indigenous people, is to have our treasures back, have our artifacts brought back home. And so that was important for us. And when we asked our elders, like, what should we do? How should we approach this with our traditional laws? They said that we need to show them a part of our culture, show them our ayauk, our traditional laws, share our songs with them, share our language with them, and the teachings that go with all of that. And we did that, and we were received by them, and they hosted that ceremony for us, and that's where we left our gift behind.
I was wondering if after this visit, were there any other items that the Kekatlan Nation is hoping to retrieve from this or any other museums?
Yeah, in the other museums, we visited four on that trip. One was in the Brooklyn Museum in New York. It was a gambling mat and sticks that belonged to Chief Sheikh that passed in 1901. And it was a gambling mat had a nesh on a kilowell and 64 gambling sticks. Some of them had abalone shell on them inside the sticks. And it was a set of 80 altogether, but they're still mostly all intact and still well preserved. And so that's one of the treasures artifacts that was approved to be repatriated. And so we asked them that, you know, we're ready to receive it back home. And they're just getting that process underway to repatriate it. And then we visited another museum, American Museum of Natural History in New York, probably one of the biggest museums in the world. And they have a Northwest Coast Hall that has such a huge display of cultural treasures from our part of the world, from like southern Vancouver Island all the way up to Alaska. And a lot of these museums only show a fraction of what they actually have. Some would only show maybe 1%. And like that museum, for example, only shows 1% of what they had, because that was, even in the 1800s, that was the main museum that collected a lot of treasures taken from the Northwest Coast.
I asked Johnson what the hopes were for the current and future reacquired items that belong to the village.
We established an agreement with the museum in Northern BC and Prince Rupert to temporarily house some of those items in the meantime, and as well to educate our people that live away from home to show that, you know, this is what we're doing. We're bringing back our cultural heritage that's been shared throughout the world, and it's only a small representation of what we really have that's out there.
The village of Kakatla is one of the longest inhabited villages in the North Coast, and preserving the history and culture is so important.
Our elders and our hereditary table and knowledge keepers share that we're the oldest community on the coast, never been displaced. Even our Lachlan community was long be here before the reserve system, and we're proud of that, but we need to show, you know, the richness of our culture through that. And part of that is bringing home these artifacts, bringing home these cultural treasures that represent how influential and rich our culture is of Kakatla, and how it spread throughout the up and down the coast. And so this trip that we went on the East Coast was only a part of that, and it really helped kind of reawaken our interest in our people to show that, you know, we need to reclaim and bring home our cultural heritage, but also live it, practice it as Kakatla.
The return of the totem pole has helped unify the Kakatla Nation. And with National Indigenous Peoples Day, the village is hosting a feast for a two-day visit of the stone mask from the Canadian Museum of History from Ottawa.
With the pole coming home, that was a really unifying moment, because we filled both the old community hall and the school gym for the cleansing and for the feast. And both buildings haven't been like that full for several years. So it really united our nation together. We brought home people that live in town in Pursuper, live in Terrace, live far away, and brought everyone back for that moment to, you know, to mark that occasion. And we're looking forward to more events like that. Like, we have another one upcoming with the stone mask visit on June 20th, 21st. Following the same kind of process we did with returning the totem pole, with having it blessed, greeted, and then a feast to mark it as part of our traditional law. So kind of building on the momentum that we had in bringing the people together to mark it, to really use our culture to take care of it, to honor and respect the significance of the event. And so we have more events like that upcoming, and the next one is the Stone Mask visit, just for 2 days. It's coming from Ottawa, from the Canadian Museum of History. And it's been there for 130, 140 years. That's just one. There's two of them. And that's the one with the eyes closed, like without vision. And the other mask with the eyes open has been in France for around the same time, 130, 140 years. So it's been a very long time since it's been home. The last time both masks were together is over 50 years ago. That was in the 1970s in Victoria, when the museum hosted both masks coming together. We're only getting one of the masks coming home for a visit, but we're marking that occasion with the community celebration and a feast. And the museum staff are coming as well, so they're bringing the mask with them. So we chose to mark it because of how important it is to our culture. Some of our oldest elders remember hearing stories of the mask, like what the type of stone that it was carved from, or come from Kakatla territory, and how they're not just regular masks, like they're part of Nuknuk. And there's a Dalek to explain that. And it's going to have the same unifying effect as a totem pole, as repatriating that grizzly bear pole, is kind of waking up our nation and bringing people together. That's what's going to happen with the stone mask, is it?
Each time something is brought back, the healing is revived anew for the nation, and pride builds among the village.
Embracing our culture and part of our healing from trauma, from colonial genocide, is acknowledging all of our cultural heritage that's been taken there removed from the community. And each time we bring something back, you know, it's kind of repurposing and healing for our people, you know, bringing our pride back together, standing up the nation. And it's happening in different steps, but we're hoping that it's going to all come together at once, especially when we have our big house and we bring all of our treasures back at the same time. And we encourage the elders pass down the knowledge to younger generations to keep that knowledge alive, to keep our traditional laws intact for future generations, to keep our culture strong. So that's part of the work that we're doing, is just that one part of it.
This story is brought to you in partnership with the Local Journalism Initiative of Canada. You can see the full story at canada-info.ca.